الحمد لله والصلاة على رسول الله نبينا محمد وآله وصحبه ومن استنى بسنته واهتدى بهداه إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد, dear brothers and sisters, Adi Muwahideen by application from the island of Tobago and all of those who are following us from all over the world through the internet, Power Talk Room Muwahideen publication. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Voice is clear to me. نعم, الحمد لله. As it is already announced that this dars is going to be about this important and valuable book, Al-Usul al-Thalatha, or as it is called by many scholars, Thalathat al-Usul. ثلاثة الأصول أو الأصول الثلاثة are very important for every Muslim. For every Muslim to know what it is about. But just before we begin, just before we start talking about al-usul al-thalatha or thalatha al-usul, it is very important for us to know at least a little bit about the author of this book. And to know why he compiled this book. As this will clarify all the doubts that have been scattered around him. Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab is Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab ibn Sulaiman ibn Ali al-Tamimi al-Hanbali al-Najdi. He is known, well known to the scholars of Islam. Those scholars who are upon the way of the past predecessors, they know Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab very well. And they know him as the one who came in the last century to renovate and to restore and to renew the religion of Islam, which was forgotten most of the countries of Muslims. Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala was born in the year 1115 of the Hijra calendar. And a house that was known by scholars as his father was a great scholar on the Hanbali madhab, and his grandfather was a judge in his area. Sheikh Muhammad Abdul Wahhab is from a well-known tribe. It is Bani Tamim, and Bani Tamim is the tribe that Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Bani Tamim ashaddu an-nas 'ala ad-dajjal. He said that Banu Tamim, the tribe of Tamim, are the most harsh ones against the Antichrist, the Dajjal. Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah ta'ala, as he said, was born in a house which was known by house of ulama. That's why he memorized the whole Quran before he reached the 10 years of the age of 10 years. And then he studied the Arabic language and fiqh. And he was given a very strong memory that amazed so many people, beginning with his father. He used to love reading. That's why he read a lot of the books of tafsir and the books of hadith, as well as the books of عقيدة. He read almost all the books of Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah and his student Ibn al-Qayyim. And he read and studied and memorized as well and many different fields of knowledge. And he traveled for seeking the knowledge. He traveled first to Mecca and he met the ulama there. Such as the Allama, scholar of Medina, Sheikh Abdullah bin Ibrahim al-Shammari, and his son Ibrahim ibn Abdullah bin Ibrahim al-Shammari, the scholar of inheritance. As well as the scholar and the muhaddith of Mecca, Muhammad Hayat al-Sindi. He studied with him books of hadith and books of the narrators of hadith, and this Allama gave him ijazah, permission to teach these books. It was said that he, rahimah Allah ta'ala, traveled also to Iraq and he met the alim of Iraq there, and then he traveled to Al-Ihsa, and he also met the ulama there, as he met before that the ulama in Mecca, as we said earlier. He met and studied with his father, and then he went to Mecca and he studied with the ulama in Mecca, as Sheikh Sa'd Waqas al-Bukhari. And then in Medina he met other ulama, such as Abdullah bin Saif al-Najdi and Abdullah bin Ibrahim bin Saif al-Najdi and his son Ibrahim, as well as Muhammad Hayat al-Sindi, the muhaddith, as we said. And then he went to Iraq and he met ان البصرة والشيخ العالم أوفت الشيخ محمد المجموعي and then he returned back to his land. However, on the way he stopped by Al-Ihsa and he had a bit long debates with the scholars there of Ihsa in regard to the issues of Aqeedah. And then he returned back to his own town, Huraymila. Huraymila. After he was forced to leave Reina, his own town, where his father was the judge there, but after his father had a kind of conflict with the ruler of it there, they moved from it to Huraymila, and he settled in Huraymila. But in a short while after reaching Huraymila, he had to leave Huraymila because of what happened from the people of Huraymila, who accused the Imam because of his Aqeedah, which was against worshipping graves. And lastly, he came down to Reina at the time of Imam Muhammad ibn Saud, the ruler of Uyayna rahimahullah. Supported him and his da'wah. And they both cooperated on al-amr bil-ma'roof wa an-nahy al-munkar. And the first thing, the chain of the evil that was scattered and spread there, is that they demolished the dome which was built over the grave of Zayd ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu, the brother of Umar ibn Khattab, who was killed in the battle of Yamama when they were sent by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to fight against Musaylim al-Kaddar, who claimed falsely that he is a messenger. And then they continue changing all these deviations that people committed, in a nice way, with the proofs and evidences, and in most cases we will accept it from them. And little by little, the whole region changed from worshipping graves to worshipping Allah alone. And all this is because of this man, the Imam of the Da'wah Salafiyya in this time. Da'wah Salafiyya that is free of the terrorism and aggression. Not as those people who hate the Da'wah Salafiyya say about the Imam. And they say that he was a terrorist or a person who was very aggressive, which was of course wrong. And alhamdulillah, that Allah Ta'ala extended his da'wah to the whole land, and we saw his da'wah to before and today in all the countries. People in Allah alhamd return back to the Deen al-Haq, and there were some scholars praised Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab at his time, such as the great scholar Shawkani Sayyid al-Awtar, who had compiled a poem of condolences when Imam Muhammad Abdul Wahhab passed away. And of course, Shawkani was in the time after him, that's why he felt sorry that he could not see the Imam. And what has the Imam of Yemen, the great Imam Muhammad ibn Ismail al-San'ani, the author of Subul Salam, who was at the time of the Imam, and who did not hide his happiness when he heard about Imam Muhammad Abdul Wahhab and his da'wah. Imam Muhammad Abdul Wahhab passed away rahimahullah ta'ala in year 1206 of the Hijra calendar. and left behind him. Too many strong students who carried his da'wah. Such as his son, Abdullah ibn Muhammad Abdul Wahab, and his son, Hussein ibn Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahab, his son, Ali ibn Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahab, his son, Ibrahim ibn Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahab, and his grandchildren like Abdul Rahman ibn Hassan, and Ali ibn Hassan, and Sulaiman ibn Abdullah ibn Muhammad, and also from other than his family, such as Sheikh Hamad ibn Nasir ibn Muammar and many others who carried his da'wah after him and guided the people to the oneness of Allah, and they commanded them of that with that and warned them against shirk and all the methods that lead to the shirk, that lead to the shirk. And they debated and fought. They debated and compiled, and also they fired against those who refuses the Tawheed. Up until this da'wah reached us today, alhamdulillah. And his books as the big witness of his da'wah, which he left behind, such as Kitab al-Tawheed and Kashf al-Shubuhat, Kitab al-Kaba'ir, Thalathat al-Usul, Mukhtasar al-Insaf wal-Sharh al-Kabir, Mukhtasar al-Zad al-Ma'ad, القواعد الأربع، الأصول الست، آداب المشي إلى المساجد، and many other books that he رحمه الله تعالى compiled and left behind. And inshallah ta'ala we are going to study one of these great books. And the coming days, inshallah ta'ala. And we are holding this as an introductory or preface for this topic, Thalathat al-Usul. Which is only to clarify Tawheed al-Uluhiyya, the oneness of Allah in His Godhood, and to know and also to clarify the religion of Islam that Allah Ta'ala has selected and chosen and perfected and completed for the mankind to seek His pleasure and reward with. And of course all this to be based on the دليل, the proofs and evidences. And also to know his messenger, to know him by name, by attributes, by description, and of course, the most important is to know his religion that he came with, and to know how to deal with this Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with high respect, but that with high respect that does not lower him to the normal people. And with complete following that does not raise him to the level of God. By Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab compiled this book, Salafat al-Usul. And he clarified that in his preface, that he wrote for this book before he began the book with saying, if you are asked what are the three fundamental principles of Islam, then say these are so so so. Before that, he, rahimahullah ta'ala, put the introduction for his book, clarifying these things. The right of Allah in the Godhood. The right of Allah in holding the religion that he's chosen. The right of Allah in following the messenger that is sent. And it is very important to know who are targeted by this book. And once you go through the book, you will know that this book is mainly compiled for the common man, nor they are students of knowledge, but they are common Muslims who want to know their religion properly, to worship Allah perfectly. And in this book, Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala have put the principles for the normal Muslim of how to Allah ta'ala, avoiding all the false involvements in worship that may cause all the worship to be considered invalid and wrongdoing, and becoming a method of joining the anger of Allah Ta'ala. the principles that the author used while compiling this book is the acknowledgement, which is based on the belief, on the proofs and evidences from the Quran and the Sunnah, and the and what the scholars of Islam have compiled. In this book, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala refuted in advance all the possible suspicion that people may bring after him, against him, which says that he is only a copy of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah or his son Ibn Qayyim. But he refuted that by the many different transmittings of the Salaf statements from other than Ibn Taymiyyah and Ibn Qayyim, and in the whole book of Thalathat al-Usul, he rahimahullah ta'ala brought six benefits from the scholars of the Salaf. Only one of these six benefits was from Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, which was about the definition of Taghut, the false deities. And nothing from Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, but we found him quoting from al-Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala and the explanation of Surah Al-Asr, and the finally calling from al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala when speaking about and perceiving calling and asking. And we find him calling from Al-Imam al-Baghawi rahimahullah ta'ala when talking about the hijra, migrating, and we find him calling from Ibn Kathir rahimahullah ta'ala and Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhumah when talking about the ayah of Surah Al-Dhariyat, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. So in these, in all these places where he quotes statements from other ulama, we found only one out of six quotations or quotes, sorry, were from, or was from ابن القيم رحمه الله. And we found him speaking about the Tawheed in a way that the ulama preach to him were using, such as Ibn al-Mubarak, Imam Ahmad, Abu Hanifa, Shafi'i, Malik, Bukhari, Baghawi, Ibn Kathir. Not as many people say that Ibn Abdul Wahhab is the first one who talk about the three categories of Tawheed. But we find that in the books of the like of Imam Ibn Battah رحمه الله, as well as Imam Hamad ibn Ishaq ibn Mandah رحمه الله, and before them Imam Abu Yusuf Yaqub ibn Ibrahim ibn Hadid, the companion of Abu Hanifa, so all these proves to us that Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab is not kind of innovator, but he is a follower of the Salaf, of the pious predecessors, and he came in a time that the shirk has covered the whole face of the earth, except for some people scattered all around, covering no any land more than where they stand. And Allah Ta'ala provided him success to expand, to expand his da'wah, and being supported by Imam Muhammad ibn Sa'ud رحمه الله تعالى. And inshallah ta'ala, we're going to bring the benefits of every chapter of this book once we begin inshallah, and this will be after Hajj. Brother Yusuf inshallah ta'ala in the Muwahideen publication will let everyone know when we're going to begin inshallah and what is the time of it, but we want from you all to be prepared for the lessons by having the book and the notebook to write down the notes and benefits, as well as I wish that every one of you prepare for the lesson by reading something about the subject, so you may ask about something that we missed to bring, or you may ask about something that you may not understand, or a benefit that you may bring other than what we say. So we all benefit. May Allah Ta'ala keep our gathering all the time on what pleases Him in this world, and make our gathering on what pleases us in the hereafter. And may Allah Ta'ala make us from those who've been merciful, and from those who He, Allah Ta'ala, as merciful with them. May Allah Ta'ala make us from those who forgive others, and may Allah Ta'ala make us from those who He Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala forgive their sins. May Allah Ta'ala make us from those who are benefited from the end that they seek. And may Allah Ta'ala make us from those who spread the end that they gained. And now we leave some time for some questions. But we are not going to be able to take many questions as it is already now 2 o'clock in the morning here in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. May Allah Ta'ala reward us all and those who were the cause behind this durus and talks to exist. والله تعالى أعلم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه. Any questions?
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أحسن الله إليكم وبارك الله فيكم شيخنا. We have one question from the brothers here at the masjid. Rather than type it out, I'll just ask the question inshallah. The brothers want to know concerning the hadith about the people of Tamim, some narration concerning those from the area of Tamim being the harshest and most severe on the Dajjal. Is there such a hadith, and what is the relation to it with Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab? Barakallahu fiqh.
Naam wa fiqhum barakallahu. Naam, as I said in the through the lecture, there is a hadith that says Ashaddu an-nasi 'ala ad-dajjali banu Tamim. The most harsh ones against the Dajjal, the Antichrist, are Banu Tamim, the tribe of Tamim, which is located in Najd and especially the area of Qasim. And Sheikh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab is from this tribe, as well as Sheikh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahu Allah ta'ala, and many other shaykh. And the hadith, inshallah ta'ala, we will bring it and the next, and the narration of it and the source of it, we'll bring that and mention it in the next lecture, inshallah ta'ala. And Brother Yusuf, keep this question to be the first thing we do before the explanation of the book on the next lecture, inshallah ta'ala.
Naam, barakallahu feekum, Shaykhana. There's one question from a participant online. Assalamu alaikum. What is your advice to those who listen to anasheed texts? What have shirk texts involved? And what is the ruling about men singing in anasheed? And what is the ruling for listening to it in Eid regularly? What is the general advice concerning anasheed? Barakallahu feekum.
the Anasheed, as Sheikh Abdul Azim Baz rahimahullah ta'ala said, is as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said about the poems, that he sallam said, Ash-shi'ru hasanu hasan wa qabihu qabih. Poems or poetry, is the good of it is good, meaning the poetry that means something good, that handles out something good, like the good manners and attributes, and the encouragement to that should be avoided. Anasheed is the same thing. The Anasheed that includes shirk or innovation or anything that leads to evil and manners and attributes and characters and relations, etc., then this is bad. So it must be avoided. The Anasheed in general is permissible to listen to. However, when it become a habit, when it becomes something regular, like what is been exercised today by many people, that day and night they are listening to Anasheed, and they say that it strengthens their iman, this is really wrong. As many other scholars say, like of today, for example, Sheikh Salah al-Fawzan, Sheikh Abdul Mahsin Abbas, and Sheikh Abdul Aziz al-Sheikh, the Mufti, they all agree that these anasheed have taken people away from the proper understanding of the deen, and the people have taken them as a replacement of the Quran, so they do not listen to the Quran any longer. And even when they listen to the Quran, they do not listen concentrately. But when they listen to the Anasheed, they listen concentrately, and they be very emotional with it, which shows that there is something wrong in there. And for those singers who do the Anasheed and soften their voices to a limit that it goes like women, and they exercise the musical methods, and they sing them in these musical methods, of course all these are kind of imitations to the fusaq, which must be avoided and abandoned. And if the Muslim keep listening to the Quran and the Hadith, his iman will be strong, and he will find the reminder, the enjoyment, he will find everything good in there. The Anasheed to be listened occasionally, like in Eid or in the wedding, this is permissible to some of the scholars. And taking it as a field of a field of something that the person be known with, like what they call it, a munshid or a singer. This is real yani shame, as this wasn't for any of the great scholars or the great companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it was yani none of the sahaba was known as an nasheed singer, but only what is known about Andesha, who was the what we call it in Arabic Hadi, and Hadi is not a singer, it is someone who recites some words in a nice voice while traveling to make the camels enjoy and move faster. The camels, not the people, not the people. And the Prophet ﷺ did not say to Andesha, "Oh Andesha, sing so you make us enjoy." No, he did not say that to him. Rather, he said to him, "Oh Andesha, just for some time, do not let the camel go faster, so the women on the camels may fall down by the movement of the camels who go fast when they hear this song." So, who were really enjoying the anashid are the camels, not the people, not the prophet, not the companions. But today it is now changed. The Prophet ﷺ did not tell Andesha, "Oh Andesha, sing for me, let me enjoy it." But he told Ibn Mas'ud, "Ya Ibn Mas'ud, recite Quran for me as I like to hear it from others." So this is what the Muslim should do. Listen to the Quran recitation, not to the songs and anashid as they call it, and waste your time in that. As listening to the Quran itself is a reward, and it increases your iman, and it reminds you of the akhirah, and it makes you memorize it by listening to it time to time. As one of the female scholars said, that she never memorized Surah Qaf except from the repetition of Rasulullah ﷺ recitation of this surah on the member. So all these benefits are found only with the Quran, but not with anashid. And as we say that the anashid softened the hearts of the camels, but the Quran softened the hearts of the human, of the Muslims. Now, that is my response to this question. Wallahu a'lam, and I wish to excuse me for stopping here because it's already too late and I have work tomorrow morning. But inshallah ta'ala, in the coming lectures, we're going to give more time for questions. والله تعالى أعلم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته we just would like to say بارك الله فيكم وأحسن الله إليكم شيخ محمد المالكي for having taken the time out from his busy schedule and such late hours in the morning to awake and give us this dars. جزاكم الله خيرا خيرا في الدنيا والآخرة, because this is for indeed a very needed section and class and segment for us here in Tobago, and we are very grateful for it. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward him in this life and in the hereafter with good, and inshallah ta'ala we will inform all the brothers and sisters, those who signed up, We'll receive the transcribed notes by 4 days, inshallah, and we'll also keep them up to date as to the new time after the Hajj, as the Shaykh will be going on Hajj, inshallah ta'ala, with his masjid and his group. Again, jazakumullah khair for everyone participating and for all your patience. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward the Shaykh. Jazakumullah khair. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.